You're listening to the Colts Blue Zone Podcast with Mike Chappell and Dave Griffiths.
Inside the Fox 59 CBS 4 podcast studio, welcome to the Colts Blue Zone Podcast. We are taping this on a Thursday, April 18th. That means we are one week away from the start of the NFL draft. 3 days, seven rounds as franchises hope to build toward the future. It's the one weekend where everyone gets to celebrate because everyone gets better, except for the New York Jets because they always mess it up. But thankfully, we're here in Indianapolis, so you all don't have to worry about that as you're listening to this podcast. Alongside Matt Adams, I am Dave Griffiths. Our Mike Chappell can't make it this week on the COVID-19 reserve list. Now, that doesn't mean he has COVID. He could be a close contact, you know. But seriously, I'm so glad that I don't have to worry about any of that anymore. But Chap will be back next week, certainly, no doubt, as we get back to draft chat. And no doubt we'll be on Wednesday next week for sure, since the draft drops on Thursday. Give you all ample time there to get us downloaded, get us listened, and all perused up for the draft. We will talk a little bit about the draft today. Also, some happenings at Colts headquarters as the offseason program has begun for the Colts and every other team across the NFL just this week. Specifically, Matt, here in Indianapolis, we got our first chance to hear from the Colts as they all gather together. This first session is not an in-depth football learning time together. It's basically counting heads and counting noses and making sure everybody is back and everybody's in decent shape, because that's what they do right now. It's strength and conditioning. It's rehab from injuries. It's kind of to get settled and to get back in the swing of things a little bit in the very minor setting and get back to work together.
So they didn't let us get in the Colts facility to watch guys lift weights and you know, do cardio, because that's pretty much what it is. Meeting rooms, that sort of thing, get acquainted, see kind of what the team concept is. So, you know, it's still exciting because it means everybody's kind of getting the band back together, but there's not a whole lot visually from our perspective that is, from a fan perspective, that you're going
to
get out of this.
Right, yeah. It would be exciting to see Quentin Nelson do some squats, no doubt, just to say, yes, they're back, the horseshoe is back, but yeah, not too much to get excited about in terms of what's going on there. Of course, we'll anticipate to see Anthony Richardson out there working as well, and everybody out there, and specifically with Anthony, it has to do with his rehab from his shoulder injury. And we've already been told by the Colts brass in recent interviews throughout this offseason that that he is progressing, that they expect him to be out on the field sooner rather than later. And as we talked about here on this podcast, Matt, that to hear them say that is a big step in the right direction, because if there was really any doubt at all, you would expect them to just be like, oh, there's no timeline, which I've bemoaned on this podcast many times before, hearing that there's no timeline, because there's always a timeline, just that they don't want to share it with us. But the fact that they even shared somewhat of a semblance of a timeline with Anthony Richardson in his rehab should be encouraging over these coming weeks, that hopefully when OTAs start up early in OTAs, not even late, not even at mandatory minicamp in June, but hopefully OTAs in May is when Anthony Richardson will be chucking it down there on the field when he's allowed to do so.
Well, yeah, and I think that's great news for everybody, because as Chap and I discussed a little bit last week, Dave, of course, on an approved vacation.
Yes,
last week.
It was.
But as we discussed last week, you know, this team, by virtue of bringing back pretty much everybody with, you know, a few exceptions, but bringing pretty much everybody back from last year's team, they have, for the most part, said, hey, we liked what we got, and we think that the quarterback position is going to be able to elevate our team. So they're going to put a lot on those broad shoulders of Anthony Richardson, and we can only hope that he's going to be up to the task.
And that'll be a topic that I'm sure we'll discuss much more in depth for as the season gets closer. But the news of this week, we will begin with DeForest Buckner signing a two-year contract extension with the team through 2026. Buckner was going into the last year of his contract with the Colts, the one that he signed as the Colts traded for him a couple years back. They gave up a first-round pick, signed him to an extension then, and made him really a cornerstone of the defense. Well, now he's not just the young cornerstone of the defense like he was back then. Like, what was he, 26, maybe 27 years old when he signed that deal? He traded away from the 49ers because they were going in a different direction. Now he's the veteran of the defense. He's the guy that everyone goes to for kind of leadership on that side of the ball. And it's He's gone from one scheme with Matt Eberflus to the other in Gus Bradley, and still been a vital contributor to the defense. And really, it's also a Chris Ballard style. I don't want to, like, both of those two styles are certainly different defenses, but there is an idea that Chris Ballard has on what the defense is going to look like. And DeForest Buckner is a key part of that. Obviously so in this 2-year extension for him, Matt, as the Colts lock up their main frontline contributor on the defensive side of the ball.
Well, Buck's been a team captain. He's one of the guys that everybody looks up to on this team. He's kind of it was kind of funny. We'll talk about this a little bit, but everyone kind of looks to him as they looked to Philip Rivers for guidance when they called him Uncle Phil and his short time here with the team. And they were joking about, you know, Buckner taking on the Uncle Phil moniker. And then I think it was Chap who pointed out maybe he should be Uncle Buck.
Yes,
because
it was.
It's right there. You know, it's right in front of you because he is just such a guy who is so durable on the field. He's not missed many games here with the Colts. And he's just a tremendous player. And you just are so happy if you're a fan to have him back. And I know that it's like, well, my understanding is this deal was a deal that helps give the Colts some flexibility in their salary cap, which they already had some, but this provides some more flexibility so they can still just kind of sit on that money and bank it.
And whenever you add more salary cap flexibility, that should make the fans open their eyes a little bit and be like, hey, that means that something's going to happen, or at least there's an idea to make something else happen in the future, that this is not like the end of signing players for now, that Chris Ballard has his sights set on some things to happen down the line this year, or at least a rollover salary cap to next year, which nobody wants that. I'll say that right away.
Who else needs a contract extension?
Exactly.
Is your first thought sometimes.
Right, exactly. And doesn't necessarily mean bringing people out from outside. It could be taking care of your own inside, which we saw the Colts do plenty this year. And we'll talk about that a little bit too. But this deal really was... It was not totally normal for what we've seen Chris Ballard do in the past. It was kind of different in that fact that it really reduced this year Buckner's base salary to just $2.5 million. This is a reported deal, I should say.
Yeah, this
yes.
is from the Indy Star,
yes.
This information.
And you can find it on SpotRack, I think, or yes. on Over the Cap, are both really great resources for salary cap. You can get kind of as little or as deep as you really want to go on both of those websites, which I think are set up pretty well for either the guy who's just a little interested in seeing how the cap break down or really go in depth to see exactly how it matters from year to year and how the salary cap works. But anyway, it reduces base salary to just $2.5 million this year, but kind of converted his salary to a signing bonus, and that money gets spread out against the cap for multiple seasons. So it takes down the hit this year, gives a little bit more. The deal adds what are called voidable years, which essentially allow the team to spread that bonus cap hit over time. And that gives the Colts about $28 million right now in total salary cap space and $24 million in effective cap space, and that accounts for the draft class.
And that is from SpotRack and Over the Cap there on that stuff. So, yeah, it's just kind of one of those moves. And we don't really see the Colts – we've seen the Colts restructure guys' contract and reduce a cap hit, but we don't usually see the voidable year part that really takes that bonus where if they decide to part ways, let's say, with Buckner – early out of that contract, they're still on the hook for some money in like 2027 and 2028. We don't see a lot of deferred money from the Colts. So, you know, it's an interesting move in that way.
Right. And with Buckner, he spoke with us this week, one of the several Colts who did so in the first time for us in the media to get to speak to them as they were back. Buckner said it was an easy decision to stay here in Indy. He's glad to get the contract done because that's going to be a topic for every guy who has 1 year left on their contract. Now, it was last year for Kenny Moore. You know, it was last year for Jonathan Taylor.
Jonathan Taylor,
obviously,
we all saw how that worked
the
out,
big one. So. Yeah, that was fun. Let's not do that again. but Buckner, it's done before it's an issue, which is fantastic, which I love because I hate dealing with those issues. You know, you want to deal with football. You want to talk football. You want to talk X's and O's and who's starting and what matters. And you don't want to have salary issues looming over an entire season. For Buckner, it won't. He said last year's near playoff run showed the team is going in the right direction. And for him to stay here also, like, it's obvious that you have some kind of faith in Anthony Richardson. If you're a guy who's at the age Buckner is, who's signing probably his second or third to last contract, when they get to this age, you're signing 2 or 3 year extensions for the most part. So he's into his 30s now. He's over the hill in NFL terms. You know, you're seeing the back half of your career instead of the front half. And by that time, you're thinking more legacies. You're thinking, obviously, getting as much money as possible, which every player absolutely should, but also wanting to go somewhere, stay somewhere in this case, that can win games, because you want to win too.
Yeah, you want to get there. You want to get into the postseason because you want that mm-hmm. shot at getting that ring. And he had a shot at the Super Bowl with the 49ers. They fell short. So him staying here, you know, does tell you, like you said, he's got some faith in the franchise's direction. Mm-hmm. He's got faith in the quarterback that they've drafted last year. And even though he's coming off the surgery, he being Anthony Richardson, not Buckner. And then it was interesting. I think one of the reporters asked him, you know, what did you think about doing something like, you know, Stephen Gilmore did, where he was toward the end of his contract. Things did not work out. Mm-hmm. Unfortunately, he was one of their best players on the team that year, but it was a bad season. He wanted to go somewhere where they can contend because he did not think the Colts were going to be there at that time. Now, as it turned out, the Colts were, but it surprised everybody. Let's mm-hmm. be perfectly honest with the Colts even being within a breath of getting into the playoffs last year. And, you know, Buckner said, yeah, I could have asked for a trade, or I could have waited till the contract expired and signed somewhere else as a free agent, or, you know, gone into some sort of intensive negotiations with the team on what he wanted to do. But, you know, sometimes the grass is greener on the other side. You don't know. Maybe this situation looks good with this franchise, mm-hmm. but then it doesn't work out,
yeah.
or they change their defensive system and it doesn't play to his strengths. So, you know, he knows what the Colts are doing here. They know what kind of player they have in him. So it's a good situation for him.
Right. The grass is not always greener. And for Buckner, he knows that he thinks that there's plenty of green grass here. Again, that should be something encouraging, that a guy like that thinks that much about what's going on. So that's Buckner. Other players who talked are Ryan Kelly, Dallas Flowers, Michael Pittman Jr., Zaire Franklin, and, of course, head coach Shane Steichen as well. We'll kind of go down these guys one by one. We'll start with Ryan Kelly because he's in the same situation that DeForest Buckner is going into the final year of his contract. And if you all remember last year, at the end of the year, there was some type of question or a report that Kelly was considering retirement, and Kelly, in no uncertain terms, very much shot that down and said that that is not what going on between his ears at all, at least right now. So if it was at some point, if the report was right, let's just say that at some point he was thinking about it, he's not anymore. He is trying to stay. He is trying to play as long as he stays healthy. He will be in the NFL, and he will be probably going to be a Colt. Because last year, he had a very good year, Ryan Kelly, and it was better than his previous couple of seasons. He was healthier, and I think you can speak to the change in offensive line coach that everyone gave tons of credit to Tony Sperano Jr. and the job he did with everybody last year. But Ryan Kelly praised the entire coaching staff, saying that he wants to work with Anthony Richardson, of course, but he does want a contract extension. So that'll be something to consider. And now that there's a little bit more flexibility in the salary cap with Buckner's deal getting done, now there's a chance for Ryan Kelly, if there was already like between 20 and $25 million of cap. Now, like I said, there's 28 with Buckner's deal getting restructured. Was I going to say? Yeah, Ryan Kelly may be next on the docket here, Matt, as Chris Ballard turns his attention toward what to do next this offseason.
Yeah, and it may not even depend on whether or not he has a good season here. They may not be taking a wait and see. They may decide to extend him because, you know, a couple years ago, that offensive line had been great, and then they weren't. All of a sudden, they had a terrible year. And then last year they rebounded, and even with a lineup that was a little bit patchwork at times, you know, not always the same guys always in the same spots, they still performed pretty well yeah. as a unit. They were rated very high by Pro Football Focus and things like that, and Kelly kind of regained form there at center this year. So he's a very valuable piece. If he wants to stay, I think the Colts will keep him.
Like Buckner, he's a team captain. He's one of the leaders, again, who's been around this team for a long time. He was a first-round draft pick of the Grigson era, for crying out loud. Like, yep. That's how long he's been around here.
He was drafted because they needed better linemen around Andrew Luck, if you can recall.
Yeah. Because there was so much of a center carousel in front of Andrew Luck. They're like, finally, we've got the center. We've got it. We've got our battery for years to come. Wrong. Now there's been a quarterback carousel behind Ryan Kelly for the past decade or so. Or past 5 or 6 years or so, ever since Andrew Luck retired. Luck was back, by the way, in town last week.
Yes, I meant to mention that.
Yeah, and he's so we might as well talk about it now. But he looked good. He looked happy. He looked sprite. He was very excited to be back here in Indianapolis. And he was back for the Chuck Pagano, the annual gala they do at Colts headquarters, the Chuck Strong Gala. And but he spoke. He looks good. He's happy. He's not playing football anytime soon. Thank God that those persistent. Hey, Andrew Luck is gone and in the past. But it was good to see him back. And it's just like to see Andrew Luck back in a Colts setting is, I think, a step toward full healing with this franchise, Matt.
Yeah, I think so, because Luck's a guy who just doesn't really do a whole lot out in the media. I mean, he's just kind of living his own life. He's with his wife and his kids.
Right.
I think he's been doing some schooling. He's been doing some like part-time coaching on the high school level and stuff like that. And we just don't really see him that much. I mean, when he appeared, what was it, on Prime Football on the Thursday night game, he was Captain Andrew Luck. He just sort of randomly showed up. And sometimes Luck does stuff like that. But as far as like just appearing in public and appearing and doing media interviews, just not a guy anymore who wants anything to do with that. So it was nice to see him back, like you said, bringing a little bit of, not necessarily some closure, but some healing, making some steps toward maybe getting back involved a little bit with the franchise.
Yeah, he's not going to be a guy like a Gary Brackett was, you know, and who was always kind of in the public eye even after retiring, or a Marlon Jackson who's still in the area and kind of in the public eye from time to time. Like he's always going to be more reclusive in that aspect, but there will be a time when Andrew Luck goes up in the rafters at Lucas Oil Stadium as a member of the Ring of Honor. But it's going to take some time just because of the way everything ended. But like I said, good to see him back, and he's happy, and the team was happy to have him back. Of course, there's never been any problem with Jim Irsay and Andrew Luck. He was not happy to see him go by any stretch of the imagination.
He always held on to that hope, that we're going to be able to coax him to come back.
But there was no bitterness like there was with a lot of the fan base, and I would say justifiable bitterness for the way everything went down. And I know that there's arguments for both sides, and I know we've hashed them out both ways. But now that he's back, it's just at least a mention in the show before we really move on to other topics. And that stems out of Ryan Kelly. And Ryan Kelly back for another season with the Colts. Dallas Flowers, the cornerback that we're not really mentioning when we're discussing the future of cornerback, and that's because he played a couple games last year and then got hurt and was done. So you saw progression from other young guys like Juju Brents when he was on the field, like Jalen Jones, but you didn't see Dallas Flowers take any real significant steps forward because there were none to take. He was hurt. He was out. He says he's pleased with his recovery from his injury so far. Likes the depth in the secondary, feels the unit has a lot of growth, and also was asked about the new kickoff rule because he was the Colts kickoff returner a couple years ago. Yes, he was, I think 2 years ago, he maybe led the NFL or was one of the top kick returners in the NFL in his rookie year when he was an undrafted kid out of Pittsburgh State, the Gorillas, Division II school. So anyway, Dallas Flowers is a really unique X factor is maybe too strong a word, because usually that implies will certainly make an impact beyond what make a significant impact and one beyond what you would expect. I think Dallas Flowers could make an impact beyond what we expected. I don't know how significant it's going to be this year, but depending on the draft, of course, and depending on the health of everybody back there, he could see more significant minutes again on the outside this year, Matt, because you're going in with still two, with Jones and Brents, who I mentioned earlier, who going into their second years. They're no different really in their development than a Dallas Flowers is right now. They've both been in the system for like a year, playing the system, I would say. And they're kind of all, I would think, on a very much level playing field in terms of, like, I don't know who is going to get the inside shot at really the second job. Because I would say Juju right now is probably penciled in as a starter as long as he's healthy. He was the second round pick last year. But opposite him, like, you got obviously Kenny Moore on the inside. But it's a wide open battlefield for who's going to get that, who's going to start, I think, opposite Juju Brents. And you'd maybe throw in a rookie in the first round as well. And I think Dallas Flowers has as good a shot of anybody is what I'm trying to say.
Well, he's athletic, and he kind of just played his way into the lineup. And that's what you like, is they had, you know, not great cornerbacks before, and he was able to get in there and make an impact on the team. And then, of course, you, as a bonus, got the return game on top of that as well. And so, no, you're right. I mean, maybe they've got the most tape on Flowers because they didn't get a lot of tape on Juju Brents because he was not in the lineup consistently last season. But then Jalen Jones played almost every game, or I think he did play in every game last season. So, and then the other thing you get concerned about with Flowers is, I believe it was an Achilles injury that he came off. And sometimes those guys getting that explosiveness back the year afterwards is really, really tough.
Yeah, it depends on the guy. It depends on the injury. I mean, that's the injury that that a couple people had. It's what Julian Blackman had, and it's what who else had
Odengbo.
Yeah, Dio Odengbo. You're right. Had the Achilles injury, and like you can definitely see that Odengbo is better.
Needed that extra time.
Yeah, exactly.
Because he made
year.
a big leap his second time.
And part of that, you know, part of that is just development as a player. True. But also it's getting fully back from that injury. When you're older and this happens, I remember Eric Fisher, who came in as left tackle back in 2021. Like, he did not, and you'd think, well, why does offensive line need to explode? Well, you're trying to get back and block and pass protection. You need to explode out of your stance and get back, and he couldn't do it anymore. And that's why after that year, like before that year in 2020, he was a Pro Bowler, and the Colts signed him knowing that, well, he's trying to get back from this injury, but that's why he hasn't played in the NFL since 2021.
Because just didn't get it back.
Exactly. He did not have it. The Colts tried and it didn't work that year with him. But anyway, Dallas Flowers being a young guy, you would optimistically say that hopefully he can be back, but also say that it might take some time, like it does with Dial, as an example of another young guy, and Julian Blackman, who certainly had a very good year last year. And I can't remember when his Achilles at the end of 2 years ago? Was it like I think
his Achilles was the pro injury that he had.
I think
the one coming out of college was, the ACL.
Right.
Sometimes I get that transposed in my head, but I think that's
and I think
way.
I think so too. But anyway, so that's Dallas Flowers. Again, a guy that I think you can be optimistic about, but not someone to say that, oh, we have Dallas Flowers, so we shouldn't draft a cornerback. Obviously,
no, it's like solid player.
Yeah,
but
it's like saying, oh, well, if you're a Colts fan, saying, oh, we have Jelani Woods, we shouldn't take Brock Bowers in the first round. We can take someone else. No. Okay, like that. They have some talent in these rooms. These guys are decent players, but they're not anything to keep the Colts from trying to get better, specifically in the draft, which we'll talk plenty more about next week. Zaire Franklin, another captain, Syracuse University's finest, three-time captain of Syracuse University, by the way. Doesn't happen very often when that happens, Matt, just so you know. Zaire sees the defense improving this next season. He gave a shout-out, of course, to Buck for his extension. Happy to have Kenny Moore and Julian Blackman back. There's plenty of camaraderie in this group, for sure. They like each other. Now they just need to kind of take their game to the next level. And really what they're missing now, they're missing it. They're missing something that Shaquille Leonard brought, of course, in his best years, Matt. Like, Zaire is as steady as they come at linebacker. He is solid. He sticks his nose in everywhere. He gets more tackles than anybody in the NFL when he's out there on the field. The only reason he didn't lead the league last year is because he missed one stupid game, and he wasn't the league leader that reason. But he has set now the Colts record in back-to-back seasons for single-season tackles. Zaire is as steady as they come. But those forced fumbles or interceptions don't seem to come his way like they did with Shaq from time to time. They do with EJ Speed, gets a couple, not certainly at the level of Shaq, but that's the one thing I think that Zaire can take his game to the next level if you could get in on some more of those, quote, splash plays. And it's something that the Colts need more of on the defensive side of the ball. And that will kind of impact what I think the Colts are going to do in the first round of the draft, which we don't need to discuss right now, which we'll get to eventually. But Zaire, again, to hear from Zaire, I love seeing Zaire, obviously, because he's a fellow Syracuse University and Philadelphia guy from Philadelphia. But he's back again. You expect him to be nothing else but the steady player he is and continue to take more of a leadership role on that side of the, on defense.
And it's just, and you guys talk about it all the time, but it's always great to hear from Zaire because, you know, some of these guys, although I really do think of the guys that they talked to coming off the offseason activity stuff, they all had something to say this time, but that's not always the case, especially when you get into the grind of the season. Zaire's a guy who always seems to have something to say.
Right. Yeah, he's fortunately, there's Like with him, unlike some of these other guys, there's no real serious off-season storyline with Zaire. Well, he got his contract.
Yes, he got his extension.
Yeah, that's already done. So he was like the first one to get done. Buckner got done. Ryan Kelly, perhaps one of the next ones to get done as well. Michael Pittman Jr., speaking with us, says Anthony Richardson's going to play 17 games and more.
He hopes and more.
And more, and more, and more, Shanta Colts fans. Yes, we'll see about that this year. That'd be fantastic. happy that the rent-a-QB era is over. Says he believes Richardson's running ability will lead to some explosive RPOs. And that's we've talked about that in here before. Like to have Anthony Richardson and Jonathan Taylor on the field for a grand total of two plays last year was left the Colts fan wanting. Left you wanting more. And you see both players what they can do, both of those two guys, and both their explosive ability. And that should leave you excited for what's to come. But it's all potential right now, which is just like the draft is next week. Kind of like I was saying earlier, every fan loves the NFL draft because it's all potential. You come away from it feeling great, feeling that your team certainly got better. And you go into, if you're the Colts in this scenario with Anthony Richardson and Jonathan Taylor, you go into next season, you have to feel optimistic about what they can do together just because you've seen both of them, Richardson a little bit, Taylor a whole lot more, obviously, by themselves. You've seen how explosive they can be. Throw them together in the same backfield. And like Pittman says right here, they should be able to be explosive in the RPO game. And that should be a lot of fun for them, for Colts fans to watch. And he says, don't sleep on his passing. The Colts, he says, will be able to attack outside more than in recent years. They better, because Richardson has a stronger arm probably than their last quarterbacks back to the old CW, combined.
He mentioned by name, obviously, in the rundown. It's an inside joke on the show about Carson Wentz. But, yeah, he mentioned Wentz by name. He said Carson had a great downfield arm. And that's, we also have mentioned that before on the podcast, that when it came – there's always that question, can Pittman go downfield? The season that he showed yes, he can, was when he played with Wentz. He made some big plays downfield because Wentz had a big arm. Mm-hmm. And now he's going to be with a quarterback who's similar.
Yep, and there are some times there, like Pittman had just as many big plays as he had plays where he drew pass interference down the field too as well, because like he's a big dude and he's a strong guy. So if he gets into good position, quarterbacks are going to have to take him down, you know, in order to prevent longer plays. And so that was a part of his game that year in 2021 that has not been used since, and there certainly is the potential for it to blossom once again with Anthony Richardson throwing the ball. Let's see what else here. It says Buck has taken over the Uncle Phil team dad role. Well, that's who it came from specifically, was Michael Pittman Jr. saying Uncle Phil. And like you said, our very own Mike Chappell, may he rest up and see him next week, saying call him Uncle Buck, which for all you youngins out there listening to this podcast, if you are unfamiliar with Uncle Buck, as soon as this podcast is done, you need to find where it is streaming online and rent Uncle Buck and sit down for a couple hours.
So, and make sure it's the movie with John Candy and not the terrible TV show that they tried to cash in on based on the movie.
Exactly. The TV show with the legendary, not the TV show, sorry, the movie is what I meant with the legendary John Candy. So that's from Pittman. Shane Steichen. Steichen comes up and right out of the bat saying he has two rules, Matt, two rules for Shane Steichen. One, be on time. Unfortunately, we are starting this podcast on time. I'm always close to on time when I come. Usually, I'm pretty much on time. Chap's always here. I always come in, and you and Chap are sitting down. You're ready to go. But I stroll in and like, all right, fine. Star's here, guys. Here we go. Time
now,
to go.
Now we can
all
start
right.
The thing.
Yeah, where's my latte? All right, here we go. But anyway, number two rule, treat people with respect. So those are Shane Steichen's two rules.
We flaunt rule number two
a
little bit.
Quite a bit. But nevertheless, it's all in good fun at the end of the day. Steichen says Anthony Richardson's in a really good place with his recovery, because obviously that's always going to come up every time that we see Steichen or Irsay, maybe with the draft next week, if he's healthy and up to it, we will see. When we talk to Chris Ballard, one of the first questions is going to be about Anthony Richardson and how he's doing until we really sit down with Anthony.
I did get a laugh out of Steichen because, again, I think he's loosened up just a little bit.
Yeah, here. I think so.
We'll see how it goes during the season. But he said, I'm just glad you don't have to ask me, what do you value in a quarterback, for 3 months leading up to the draft, because that's all that we could do last year. Mm-hmm. And then one of the reporters immediately asked, what traits do you value in a wide receiver?
Nice. That sounds like, I don't know who it was. That sounds
I forget
like
who it was.
It might have been Kevin Bowen, but I don't know who it was. but because I wasn't there, but it sounds like a Kevin Bowen question because he has asked for years about wide receivers, and it's become a running joke with Chris Ballard.
Okay.
Kevin Bowen asking him about wide receivers. So yes, that if it was Kevin, salute to Kevin. If it wasn't, salute to whoever it was who brought that up, because that's pretty darn funny. Richardson says he has much better foundation this offseason because everything isn't brand new, like the playbook and terminology. And I would liken that to Steichen's own scenario. Mm-hmm. Like, it's not all new for him either, which is probably why he's a little bit looser.
I think that has a lot to do with it because, I mean, even when we saw him in his opening press conference, I wouldn't describe that as a guy who looked really comfortable in his own skin. Like, he was confident. He was really trying, but he just – It was a very big moment for him, and you could tell that the moment was big. Now, I think this is all. We got the year under our belt. I've been the head coach. I kind of know what I'm doing, and we'll go from there.
Yeah, you could overemphasize, I think, that reality by saying he was wound up. And I don't know if that's entirely true, but he was certainly a little tight. And,
yes.
and sports
yes.
fans will get that analogy. If the pitcher's a little bit tight, you know he still has his stuff, but it's just not as precise
right.
as he should be out there. So you would hope and you would think that this year, being a little bit more comfortable and knowing what to expect, with that knowledge of what to expect comes a little bit more stability and a little bit more confidence in yourself and your ability as a head coach, too. It'll be good to see, as Shane Steichen says, again, AR and JT get used to one another, which has been a continuing theme here in this for us today. Excuse me, I have like a burp that's halfway up and it's like staying there. Excuse me, there it is. I had to punch myself in the chest. This is a great radio, let me tell you, a great podcast, whatever it is.
We paint with words.
We do. Subscribe to the Colts Blue Zone podcast. Get us downloaded to your listening device as soon as it drops so you can hear anything and everything that comes out of my mouth. But that's just the first week. We'll talk to more players as the offseason goes on. No doubt we'll talk to coaches too, and I'm sure Reggie Wayne will be on the list of people to talk about. We can chat about Dwight getting into the Hall of Fame and his no doubt disappointment, but of course moving on and seeing what there is. And this will all come with assistant coaches probably more so after the draft, because hopefully we'll be able to get their thoughts on some of these players that the Colts decide to bring in starting next week. And that'll be fun to hear from them about their thoughts. It's always good to hear from the scouts too, who go out and like literally study these guys for weeks and months, see what they saw, see what they think about these players. That's always a unique discussion with them about what exactly stood out, you know, that helped allow them to bring it to then the attention of Chris Ballard and Shane Steichen and Jim Irsay to get them kind of on the board. I found those discussions really intriguing to see how certain players in the draft stand out. And of course, being 1 week from the draft, Matt, this is mock season. They're coming out left and right
everywhere. They're everywhere.
There's final mock draft. There's final mock draft A. There's final mock draft 1A2. You know, whatever it is, like everyone has their final stuff coming out. As now you have the most information as you're going to have, like at the beginning of like January, February, when most people are really starting to get full bore into this, like you just look at teams, you look at needs, you look at players, and you kind of paste it through that way. Well, now you have teams that have been all over the place at certain pro days. Like just a great example, last year, the Raiders, the Vegas Raiders had their offensive coordinator at Purdue's pro day, which I was at, and I remember seeing him there and talking to the Purdue SID, sports information director, to make sure I knew who that was and was their offensive coordinator. And then they go out and they take Aiden O'Connell in the fourth round of that draft. So you see certain people at certain pro days or talking with certain people at what's it called, the Senior Bowl and all that, and you get certain top 30 visits. The teams bring in different players to their headquarters, and so you get more information about who teams are looking at and what exactly they're interested in. So drafts now, obviously mocks are much more information based, but it's also, being mock draft season, is also smokescreen season, of course, Matt.
Absolutely.
You never know what information is right and what information is wrong. And I certainly credit the guys who do mocks every year to try to siphon through all this. Guys like Mel Kiper, who's done it forever, like Daniel Jeremiah at the NFL, at NFL.com. All these guys do a really good job. Dane Brugler with The Athletic does a tremendous job.
Is he the beast?
He does the 7-round
yeah.
mock draft, man. That is just insane.
That is some commitment.
Exactly.
Man.
It really is to go all out. But there's a market for it because the NFL is king. and as big a deal as Caitlin Clark is right here in Indianapolis right now, just this week, getting introduced with the Indiana Fever, and how big a deal that's going to be this summer. Man, the NFL, they do anything. You sneeze, and there's a five-page story on USA Today about what's happening in the NFL. So really eager to see what happens next week and to see something materialize out of all these months of for the scouts, scouting and work and study and debate and passionate back and forth about these players, and to become a little bit more concrete and see exactly what happens is always a really intriguing time. That's why everybody loves the draft. So really exciting to see what happens. The Colts, we are tracking Colts.com.
JJ from Colts.com doing the
Lord's
the
work. Yes,
for
exactly. He tracks 21 mock drafts in his most recent. He does Mock Draft Monday, kind of a roundup of who the people out there are taking if you're the Colts. And of the 21 mock drafts that JJ put together on Colts.com, you can head there and read them. But 11 of the 21. 52%, that is, have the Colts taking a cornerback, because that's probably the most obvious need that they have. You have talent in that room, like we said earlier, but it's a lot of young, unproven talent, and if you add a little bit more there, maybe that's... And there's some decent talent at cornerback in this draft that's not quarterback, that's going to kind of push down some of the pretty good corners there in the first round, you would think.
Yeah, and it's just kind of one of those things. I mean, one thing when I look through some of these mock drafts, and again, these are people who, you know, study more football than I do, but also maybe they're not – I'm not going to say I'm in tune with what the team needs, but I've also watched Chris Ballard draft for a long time. The guy has made, I think it's 18 draft day trades in his years here. I don't think there are enough people accounting for a trade down from the Colts in this first round. Now, it could be because there is some unbelievable talent here. If there's a run on quarterbacks, if we discussed before, some of that talent then kind of drops to slots where you wouldn't necessarily have thought that they were going to drop, and maybe the Colts do stick at 15 and draft a guy. A couple of these guys think that the Colts may trade up
right
to get Brock Bowers. And I just, having watched the Colts do that, unless they are just 100% all in on it, I'd be very surprised if they did it.
Right. I would too. I would much more expect, if they're going to trade up, to trade up for a Romo Dunze or Malik Nabers, if one of those guys starts to fall a little bit in the draft for whatever reason. Like Brock Bowers is I think a tremendous offensive player, but I do think there's a difference between a number one receiver and a number one tight end.
I think there still is.
You would rather have the Jamar Chase than the... I would rather have Jamar Chase at his best than Travis Kelce at his best. Like that's how I feel. And I think that you could have a really good debate about that. But I think most NFL scouts or GMs would agree with me, because number one wide receivers are paid more.
I say, look at the pay scale.
Exactly. Than the best tight ends in the league. Again, I think that this is something that you could actually debate, the value of a tight end in the line, in the tight end in the vein of Travis Kelce or Rob Gronkowski, rather than Gronkowski might be the outlier, because he was the best receiving tight end and the best blocking tight end in the NFL, as
total
long as he was healthy for years.
What a monster.
And with what the Colts want to do in the run game, like if you had a guy like that would be an otherworldly get. But anyway, 11 of the 21 mock drafts had the Colts taking corner. 15 of the 21 had them taking defense. So that's 71% of them, and just 6 of them have the Colts going offense. And you have a good breakdown, or JJ really has a good breakdown.
Yes.
You just copy and paste really well onto this paper for us. Thank you.
I did go through and do the tallies.
Well, good job.
So
Mac.
So that was the very, very bare minimum of work that I did.
Uh-huh. The one player who does get the most is Brock Bowers. So of the 6 times that these mock drafters have the Colts going offense, 5 of them have them taking Brock Bowers. And that is if he falls, of course, to the Colts. So that would be probably assuming there's enough teams to trade up for quarterbacks up there and he falls. That's assuming the Jets do not take Brock Bowers, because I've seen him going to the Jets in a couple mock drafts, who pick a couple before the Colts at 15. I think they're at 13 or 12, somewhere around there. Maybe they're even at 10. But there are a couple of spaces in front of the Colts, all that to say. But if he goes, if he falls down to the Colts, certainly a legitimate consideration to take him. If not, and if quarterbacks don't get taken in the top, maybe in that 15, 13 to 18 range, other teams are trying to trade to that range. And then the Colts will be very happy, maybe. I don't want to say very happy because I don't know for sure, but it depends on who's there. But I would imagine at that point, if they're getting quarterback offers for their 15th overall pick, Chris Ballard, based on what he has done in the past, Matt, it would be hard to imagine him turning them down, going down to, I don't know, 23 to 27, you know, in the draft and picking someone down there.
Where he'll still get a good player that they've scouted and that they like. I think that depends on what their projection is on some of these guys. But yeah, if he can get an extra third round pick or a fourth round pick or something like that, trade down and flip flop with somebody in the first round, that is just totally what the Colts have done.
But the second most drafted player in these 21 mock drafts was Terrion Arnold, the cornerback out of Alabama. There were four mock drafts that had him going to the Colts. I've seen him taken a couple times before the Colts and a few times after, mm-hmm. but mostly a little bit before. He's usually the first or the second cornerback off the board in all these drafts. Young man out of North Florida, Tallahassee, Florida, John Paul II High School, and then went over to Alabama after that. Arnold, based on our interviews, not one-on-one with him, but you have those whole group settings at the combine. He's a wonderful interview, he lights up the room. You know, he's one of those guys. Brock Bowers is not that. He's very he says a couple words and then he's on to the next thing. And not that there's anything wrong with that at all, and not that there's anything that makes one player a better player, but he's fun to listen to, is what I'm saying. I think Terrion Arnold would be a guy that Colts fans would love, and a guy that would be about more than football here and be involved and be a face of the franchise type guy, based on if they get him and if he stays healthy, you know, and all that stuff. But he's a very intriguing guy to me, if indeed the Colts would be interested in drafting him. Quinion Mitchell was in three of these drafts, the cornerback out of Toledo, probably the other cornerback between him and Terrion Arnold going 1-2, really, in most of the drafts that I have seen, at least those two guys. Cooper DeJean, from Iowa, he's in two of these drafts. Jared Verse, defensive end out of Florida State, taken twice in these mock drafts. And then a bunch of guys taken one time. One is Renardo Green, the corner out of Florida State. One is defensive tackle Byron Murphy II out of Texas. One is wide receiver Brian Thomas Jr. out of LSU. And then one defensive end Dallas Turner out of Alabama. And one cornerback Nate Wiggins out of Clemson.
I don't know how DE. That is not correct.
Nate Wiggins would not be a good defensive end.
He is a cornerback.
He is indeed a cornerback.
Bad, Matt. Bad.
Indeed. Shame on you. But only three of these 21 drafts had the Colts trading down. Matt puts a note here, seems low, and I would agree with you. That seems low to me, too. Just with the ability, with all these quarterbacks that are in the mix, and with some that you're not totally sure if they're top 10 quarterbacks, you know, a couple of them you're pretty sure. I think three or four of them you're feeling good.
You feel that those guys are going to get picked.
But then there's two other guys, you know, or so, that you don't know what other teams feel about them completely. And there are other teams that have needs there. So all it takes is one team to fall in love with you and move up for you. And we saw it, like I've said before, with Daniel Jones a couple years ago, how the Giants loved Daniel Jones. They got him. And I don't know if any other team loved him as much as the Giants did, but they loved him enough to make the move and get him. All it needs is one team to love Bo Nix, whether it's the Denver Broncos or the Raiders or whoever it is, or the Minnesota Vikings. Like, if they love him enough and the other guys are gone and they're like, we can't lose out on this guy, boom, you make the trade at 15 with the Colts and you make the pick there.
Well, and you could see, I mean, something happening where, like, for a long time, it looked like North Carolina's Drake May was going to be the guy, one of the guys in the draft. And we've seen sort of a precipitous fall from him over the last month or so. And we've seen J.J. McCarthy go up the ranks in this draft. And it can be befuddling, but it seems to happen every year. But that could mean that a team has a good evaluation on Drake May. He does end up dropping, and then they're willing to trade up. And then that just sets off this entire domino effect of what happens in that first round.
All right, we'll also remind everyone that this is smokescreen season. We saw mm-hmm. it big last year with C.J. Mm-hmm. Stroud. There was a lot before the draft of seeing him kind of go down the boards, and then he's taken, you know, by the Texans right there at the top. and you saw exactly what he did. And there was no, and I've said before that I think that I was more wrong about CJ Stroud than I have been about any draft prospect ever in what I thought about him. But
yeah, you just, you can't trust
exactly
in anything.
Yeah.
So, but it is interesting how these things can shake out.
Yeah. And as we've said before on this podcast, if you're talking about Colts draft picks, you need to talk about relative athletic scores, the old RAS. And for cornerback, since that is the one position that is most drafted to the Colts here, 11 out of 21, so half the people doing mocks think the Colts are going to zero in on corner. Here are the RAS scores for these cornerbacks that were listed above for players the Colts might take. The top RAS score of these corners is Cooper DeJean out of Iowa. His RAS score is a 9.85 out of 10. He's 6'1.5" tall. He's 203 pounds, and he has 31.5-inch arms. So he's the biggest in terms of weight out of all these guys, and that leads to some people thinking he might be
a safety
or a guy that can play down in the
like
box.
A flex role
yep,
type of guy.
Yep, or even an interior corner as well, which I'm going to say the Colts could use an interior corner. Not Kenny Moore, not to replace Kenny Moore, but really Tony Brown had been the backup for the last couple years there.
You would like to have something a little more.
Exactly.
There.
So wink, wink, nudge, nudge about what Dave might be thinking
and,
about
and
who
also,
the Colts take.
Cooper has the a return game.
He
as,
does.
As
he has
well.
A return
that,
game.
That's a little asterisk that, that goes by him, too.
And he is a guy who is a ball hawk. He is a guy who takes the ball away. Mm-hmm. And you don't have what's-his-face, Shaquille Leonard, back there anymore. You need guys to take the ball away right now. And they could be at any position. Doesn't necessarily need to be linebacker, but you need guys to take the football away right now on that defense. And you just don't have too many of them right now. So, anyway, all that to say,
interesting.
What does Dave think? Yeah. Quinyon Mitchell is a 9.79 in his RAS score. He's a 6-foot-tall cornerback, 195 pounds, 31-inch arms. Not that much smaller than DeJean, not nearly, and had a really freaking good Senior Bowl. And for a guy from Toledo, he needed that.
And blazing speed.
Exactly,
as well,
yes.
On top of that.
One of the fastest corners out there. Nate Wiggins, I believe, was the fastest corner at 4.2-something at the Combine, but he did pull up lame there, so that he wouldn't do any more drills at the Combine, unfortunately. But his RAS score is a 9.44. He is 6'1", so he's the tallest member of this group, which I know that Chris Ballard values. He's only 173 pounds.
It's so interesting.
And his arms are only 30 1/2 inch. So he's a little bit small with his arms, which is pretty important for cornerbacks as well. Wiggins had a heck of a year at Clemson. I'm not sitting here trying to rip on him at all. He did not give up a lot of receiving yards. I forget exactly what it was, but him and who's the old one? Terrion Arnold. I think both of those guys, whenever they were thrown at, they held their opponents to only like a 50 quarterback rating or something. And that's the one that goes up to 150-something, not the QBR that only goes up to 100. So I think they both had really good seasons. But anyway, here is Terrion Arnold, a 9.27 on the RAS scale, 6-foot-tall, 189 pounds, 31 5/8-inch arms. So just a bit longer than that Cooper DeJean, 31 1/2-inch. And then you go to Renardo Green out of Florida State, an 8-2-1. I would be very surprised if the Colts selected him in the first round. Let me say that. 6-foot-tall cornerback, 186 pounds, 31 1/4-inch arms. So,
and I will just say that I've been tracking some of the mock drafts and also with help from Colts.com. This is the first time I can remember his name coming up in one of the drafts, one of the mocks. And I don't think there was a trade down involved in this one. Like, I could see that if maybe the Colts traded down and, you know, this is the cornerback that they think's left to be there.
Right.
But I think this was an outright pick, if I remember correctly.
Yeah, that again, would stun me if that happens. So somebody one person likes him who's doing this mock draft, and that's what happens.
And that's fine. I mean, everybody's going to – sometimes the guys that do the mock drafts, they kind of have their own pet projects, guys that they just really like. And this may be that case there, and they may think it's a good fit in Indy for one reason or another.
Exactly. So the NFL draft is 1 week away, begins on April 25th. It is in Detroit. The Colts right now have the 15th pick. And Matt, if you're talking about what they should do, if there's a good offer to trade down, excuse me as I burp again, heavens sakes alive. Excuse me, everyone. But I would be surprised. I would not be surprised if they trade down, if that's the choice. Because, I mean, we've even debated about us going to Detroit for the draft. And, like, we just get unlucky every time we go. It seems like the guy is not there. Last year we did for Anthony Richardson because we knew that we'd talk to Anthony or whoever the Colts would take, whatever quarterback it would be. But in previous years, like, guys haven't been there. Like, Quentin Nelson was off with his family when the Colts drafted him. They've traded out of the first round before, like in the year when they moved down they went down to the second round and drafted Rock Ya-Sin, like, and the Commanders moved up that year. I can't remember exactly. They took Montez Sweat that year in that position. Anyway, I'm going down a rabbit hole. But all that to say, I would not be surprised if they trade back from 15, especially if one or two of the quarterbacks up there do fall down to that range, and other teams are still in the looking in search of a quarterback is what I'm trying to say.
Yeah, it just as we've talked about before, depends on what the run is on quarterbacks. Depends on if some teams reach for some guys that maybe the draft experts didn't necessarily think that they would reach for, then maybe the Colts do stick at 15 because they're able to get a guy on their board that they think's really good value for the pick that they've got. But I also know, as Chris Ballard has said before, he likes those picks.
Mm-hmm.
I can see them, you know, trading, making a couple trades during the draft, ending up with, I think they've only got 7 draft picks right now, one for each round. I could see them.
I'll take the over.
Yeah, I would definitely see them trying to get, you know, 9 or 10 picks out of this if they could.
That's just what he does. Build up the roster with young players, young talent, really athletic players, give them to the coaches, and then see what they can do. That's got to be, in some sense, what general managers and scouts should do. Find athletic players who are smart enough to learn what they need to do and let the coaches do their job.
I will say, though, from a fan's perspective, if the Colts do stick at 15 and take a guy, then 100%, you know, they're all in on that guy.
Yeah.
Because that means they're willing to invest, they're willing to stick and not get that extra draft capital.
Mm-hmm.
Means they really wanted this guy.
I agree. And that's what we saw a couple years ago with Kwity Paye. They stuck at that position, took Kwity. That was 4 years ago. Again, that's going to be another decision that we haven't talked about here.
Yeah, a couple weeks.
I think it's May sometime is when the Colts have to make a decision on the fifth year in Kwity Paye's contract. There's a team option for a fifth year, but his salary, of course, goes way up for that. That's an option given for first round picks in the NFL draft for players and teams that take them. So we'll see if that's going to be something that materializes, and we'll see if the Colts take a player this year that they're going to have to make a decision about in 4 or 5 years down the road as to whether they want to pick up an option. But that would be I think Colts fans want them to make a pick there, you know, because you want them to be all in on a
Absolutely.
Player, Matt.
I get it.
But at the same time, if you move down, like you. Like I said, I wouldn't be surprised, and I don't think it's the end of the world. Of course, that depends on who they take. You don't want them to trade out of the first round. No fan base ever wants them to trade out of the first round.
We've seen that a few
times. Exactly, which it just makes you bang your head against the wall. But there's not much that would surprise me greatly. Like, this is a really deep offensive line draft, so that would surprise me a little if the Colts went offensive line, you know, but if it's defensive end, they're trying to get after the quarterback more. If it's defensive tackle, that's to give, like, they just signed Grover and Buckner, so maybe not in the first round. Like, the picks here with Byron Murphy, I don't know. Like, I was thinking earlier in the draft process that maybe that was a possibility, but after they re-signed both of their interior guys, I don't know if you spend a first-round pick
right, and they used
on something on the
one
interior.
One of the few outside free agents that they brought in was an interior defensive lineman.
Right, so I don't know if that would be possible, but, like, I can see corner. I can see, like, a Cooper DeJean, who also has the safety flexibility as well. I doubt they take another safety there. Although if they fall in love with somebody, they don't have a whole lot of safeties on the roster right now, you know. But receiver, I could see it. It's not going to be a running back, obviously. It's not going to be a quarterback, but it could be a lot of different things. Like, cornerback is probably what you're zeroing in on. We'll discuss this a whole lot more next week. But there really is a very wide range of possibilities for what the Colts could do in this first round.
Yeah, I mean, that's why the draft is exciting, and you know, none of these teams are going to, you know, somebody could go up to the podium and ask Chris Ballard who he's going to pick. You're never going to find out. You're just never going to find out. Don't even ask the question. But that's what's exciting about it, is you don't know what the team is going to do this year. And, I mean, it was exciting last year because you know where they're going to pick a quarterback. Mm-hmm. Like, it was going to be somebody. It was going to be probably Will Levis or maybe Anthony Richardson. Mm-hmm. And being Richardson, very exciting pick this year. I mean, goodness, yeah, if Brock Bowers is there, go get him. Mm-hmm. But there are some very good wide receivers that they could also add that at 15, or even if they trade down a couple of spots, to pick up an extra pick and get a guy.
Yeah, well, we'll be back next week to discuss all that. Matt, myself, and Chap, if he clears concussion protocol, you know, he has to get that final evaluation from the outside source, and has to not experience symptoms for 24 hours, and then finally he can be cleared because of all those rules to be back on the Colts Blue Zone podcast. But we'll be back before the NFL draft for one final draft preview. And there'll be a lot to talk about because, like I said, there's a lot of options for the Colts to look at moving forward. So for Matt, I'm Dave. We do appreciate you listening. You can follow us on Twitter. Matt's at Statamatty. I'm at Dave_G_sports. Do download and subscribe to get this Colts Blue Zone podcast delivered to you as soon as we drop next week and before the draft. And we'll see you next week for our full draft preview edition of the Colts Blue Zone podcast.